Okay, yesterday we were learning about Tzeim Gedalia, and we brought down the Machlekes in Halacha. If by fasting Tzeim Gedalia, you're not going to be able to fast Yom Kippur, what should you do? And we said the accepted Halacha is that you don't fast Tzeim Gedalia in order to be able to fast Yom Kippur. Another interesting din about the fast is you have a few things added on the fast day. Number one, you have Aneinu in the Yamida. The Chazan says it as a separate bracha, Shachris and Mincha. People say it, everybody else says it at Mincha, in the middle of Shema Kaleinu. And then you have the Torah reading of Vayechal. So the din is that in order to do Vayechal, how many fast, you need a minyan obviously, but how many people do you need fasting to be able to take out the Torah and read Vayechal? So the din is you need at least three fasters. Three people fasting. If not, then there's another shaila. Let's say this year, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos, and Sunday, so Monday, same Gedalia. What happens if you don't have anybody fasting? So there's still a day of Kriya, so you have to take out a Sefer Torah and read the parasha that you would normally on Monday, because it's still a day of Kriya. But in order to do Vayechal, you need at least three fasters. For the Chazan to do the bracha of Aneinu in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, so it says, I mean, realistically speaking, you need 10. It says if you have three people fasting and the other seven ate less than the amount of a shear, which is unrealistic. So then, in the bottom line is, in order to for the chazen to say the bracha of Aneinu as a separate bracha, you need 10 fasters.
Do the same halachas apply to all kinds of tzibbur?
All kinds of tzibbur. Now, what happens if somebody is called up to the Torah who's not fasting? So they write like this. If it's a day that you would read Torah anyway, again, like this year, Tzeim Gedalia is Monday, so then he's allowed to go up even though he's not fasting because it's still a day of Torah reading. Otherwise, he really shouldn't go up. Some people are lenient if he'd be embarrassed of the fact that he's not fasting because of whatever. But Hag Ben Glila, you don't need picking up the Torah. Hag Ben Glila, you don't need anybody fasting. Anybody could do it. Okay, it's a fast day, you have to give extra tzedakah. Also, in Aser Shimei Tshuva, we add Avinu Malkeinu, in addition to Ledavar Shemeir, but before that, we add the long Avinu Malkeinu. Now, the long Avinu Malkeinu is really instead of the short one. At the end of Tachnun, or after you get up, it's Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu, the three psukim. So the long Avinu Malkeinu is in place of that. But if you say, let's say, Vahurachum, the long Vahurachum, so then again, when you say Avinu Malkeinu, when you say the short one, that's when you put in the long one instead. Okay, there's different customs, how to do Avinu Malkeinu, loud, quietly, the Chazan says, the Chazan doesn't say whatever. Okay, a day we said, mentioned before, that day you don't say Tachnun, then you don't say Avinu Malkeinu.
What?
Because to take out a Sefer Torah, you need fasters. The Chiddush is three. There are opinions that say 10.
Why?
Because you're taking out a Sefer Torah for a fast day.
Because
the fast day means you have to people fasting. If you don't have people fasting, it's not a fast day.
Well, we don't say that on a Monday.
I told you, I once got a call. Years ago, I got a call. I'm not going to say who it is, where it is, what it is. But from a city. They had like one shul in the city, and I think it was a Sarabatavis. The guy called me up 11 o'clock in the morning, and he said, guess what? The whole minyan forgot it was a Sarabatavis. We all ate. We added regular davening. We had the breakfast after davening. And then afterwards, the rabbi called me. He said, I realized afterwards that's really a fast day. By the way, if somebody is fasting and they break their fast by mistake, you should continue fasting. I mean, even though you broke your fast, but you're still sick, but you can't get an aliyah. No. Fast days that are distinctive days, you don't make up. There's no makeup. It has to be this day.
So they lost it.
He lost it. And he gained the breakfast. Anyway, you want to look at it? Okay. Aser Shimei Tshuva, generally speaking, is a time for introspection. Personal reflection. In fact, Arizal writes that there's at the 10 days of repentance. So 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So you have 7 days left, which means you have a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So just like we spoke Chayelu, that it says that Rebbe brings down, you have to do tshuva each day for the previous month of the previous year. So now the week of Aseret Yemei Tshuva, so you have all 7 days. So you have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you Sunday you have to do tshuva for all the past Sundays. Monday for all the past Mondays. Tuesday for all the past Tuesdays. In fact, somebody called me after the class the next day, and they said, how am I supposed to remember what I did last Tishrei of Cheshvan? How in the world am I going to be able to make a Cheshvan? So that's a very good question. So you don't have to remember, necessarily remember. You just make up whatever you did. You're going to do better, and that's it. They bring down the Chassidim. By the way, Chassidim, not the 14-year-olds, older Chassidim. They were able to give a reckoning of every thought, speech, and action they had since Bar Mitzvah. Normally, you can't even do it for the last 5 minutes. What did you think of the last 5 minutes? These Chassidim were able to give a reckoning for every thought, speech, and action they had since Bar Mitzvah. These are human beings, physical people, by the way. Okay, now, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, as the day means, you have to do tshuva. So it says people should be more careful. People that don't eat Pas Yisrael a whole year, Aseret Yemei Tshuva should eat Pas Yisrael. People that should just be more meticulous in their behavior in all aspects, between Bein Adam L'Chaveinu, Bein Adam L'Mokim. Now, the Gemara says that Yom Kippur doesn't forgive sins between man and friend, between man to man. It only forgives Averes Bein Adam L'Mokim. And if your friend is not forgiving you, then Hashem doesn't forgive you. Nevertheless, that's why many times people will go around, Yimeichumi, forgive me. By Chassidim, they never did it, because it was understood, everybody forgives everybody. Before Krishna, before going to bed, you say, Areini Meichol L'chol Mishrechis. So, okay, so that's the, you have to, in fact, some people, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, it's not necessarily our minig, but some people, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, want to get so busy in mitzvahs that they'll start looking for Asreigim and Lulavim, they'll start talking about Sukkah. Our minig isn't until after Yom Kippur. But they do a lot of things just to grab in as many mitzvahs as possible. Okay, now, Kiddush Levana for Tishrei, the minig is you don't do a mitzvah until Mitzvah Yom Kippur. So even though you could do it earlier, but nevertheless, you don't do it until Mitzvah Yom Kippur. Okay, next is like this. Kaparis. I don't know what's going to be this year in the city with COVID, with the chickens. I really don't know what it's going to be. But let's discuss what hopefully will be. So there's a minig to do kaparis, preferably Erev Yom Kippur. If not, many people do it already. Aseret Yemei Tshuva. They take a female for a female, a male meaning a rooster for a male, and a female chicken for a woman, and preferably, again, I don't know what's going to be this year, but preferably, you have each person has their own kapara. Because you don't do one kapara for all the men and one kapara for all the women. Every person has their own. To the extent it says in Halacha that if a woman has twins, or is pregnant with twins, she should bring three chickens. One for herself, and then a male and female. Maybe the fetus is male, maybe it's female. So then there's a letter from the Rebbe. What about if somebody knows they're having twins? There's a whole question. What happens if you're having triplets? It's another interesting thing. You can imagine how many chickens you need to bring. Or nowadays it's a different story. What happens nowadays, you know what you're having. Most people today know if they're having a boy or a girl. And nowadays they're usually right. I mentioned in the past there was somebody here in Shul many, many years ago that took all the tests during pregnancy, what they're having. And it came out it's going to be a girl. And they didn't do Chabad custom of not buying things before the baby is born. Anyway, they bought everything in pink, and they washed it, and they painted the baby's room pink, and cribs pink, everything pink. They're having a girl. The Abish to help, they had a boy. So Nabuch was a big problem. What? The what? Sure, Dr. Shechinah brings it down. So it says, if you don't have chickens, so then some people do it with fish, some people do it with money. Some people, even Shulchan Aruch, that Rebbe brings down, earlier people bring down, they're very much opposed to Kaparis, because it was what's called Darkei HaMeiri. The Goyish idol worshippers used to do that. But Al Pi Kabbalah, it's a very, very important thing to do, and therefore we do it regardless. But if you, somebody can't do it with chickens, they do it with money.
Isn't the
author
say that money has a
milo
too,
because it goes straight to the Amin?
Al-Trebbe
doesn't say money has a milo. You say go straight to the Amin, there's a milo inside that. Where does he say that? No, he said, doesn't Al-Trebbe say there's an advantage of doing it with money because it goes to straight to poor people? It says in Halacha that the kaparis should go to poor people, or, in fact, it says in Halacha, you take the, nowadays you can't do it, the Board of Health doesn't let you. You take out the guts of the chicken, and you put it on the roofs for the birds, because we want to show we're kind to animals, Hashem should be kind to us. And it says, some people, it says you should take the chicken, sell them, and then give the money to the poor people. They shouldn't be embarrassed that you're giving them, like, kaparis chickens, you know, it could be. But ideally, it should be done with chickens. If somebody can't, so then they do it with money.
Then
you have another big issue, which comes up a lot recently. They have these mass production kaparis, and then they shaft the chicken, and then they end up throwing out the chicken. So then you have that's a big shaila in halacha of a bal tashchis. Because your mamish, that's biblically forbidden. So what you have to do, make sure it gets kosher. Or sometimes they give it to goyim, who take it home and they clean them and they cook them. But to take a chicken of kaparis and throw it out, you're losing more than you're gaining. Because then you're transgressing, even though you could argue it might not be bal tashchis because you did a mitzvah with it. Because the main part of kaparis, will continue Mishnah 20, the main part of kaparis is not the around the head, it's the shechita. And therefore, if you did proper kaparis and you opened up the chicken and was not kosher inside the chicken, your kaparis is good. But if the shechita got messed up, then you have to redo kaparis.